I'm Jeannie Allen, and this is Reality Check. Reality Check is produced by National Review and is one of more than a dozen podcasts offered on the National Review online website. If you'd like a free subscription to the podcast so that you never miss a program, simply sign up at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or TuneIn. Hello and welcome to Reality Check. I'm Jeannie Allen, and this is going to be yet another great show because I am with the indomitable Lenore Skenazy. Let's see, how do I describe Lenore? She is so many things, a sought-after speaker, popular blogger, TV host, and a genuine thought leader on issues ranging from parenting to public policy to American culture and consumer insights. But you might know her best as America's worst mom. She got that title after letting her 9-year-old son take the subway alone. And in response to the enormous media blowback, she founded the book and blog Free Range Kids. It's a phrase that's entered the pop culture lexicon and sparked a movement. I mean, I first noticed her and her article in the Wall Street Journal not too long ago. And her work's been hailed in the New York Times, the New Yorker, and the Daily Show. And her new nonprofit, Let Grow, is gaining quite a following with kids, parents, and teachers. Lenore, welcome.
Wow, I got to leave. Nothing's going to top that intro. Goodbye. Jeannie, thanks.
You're welcome. Well, this is really fascinating. Let's start by talking, because I have so many things.
What a good idea, since it's a podcast.
Talking about things that I am sure people out there are really interested in, about that infamous subway ride.
Yeah.
You found out pretty quickly you weren't the only parent facing this pushback and worse, right? And we continue to read stories like yours. What happened?
Well, let's see. What happened in terms of suddenly the idea of any child ever being outside on their own became not only weird but criminal?
Right.
What happened there? Well, we really changed over the past, maybe 30 years. I think we all grew up free range. There wasn't a name for it. It was just being a kid. What would you do? You'd get up in the morning on a Saturday and you would?
Go out.
Till
all hours of the night, until my mother said come home when it's dark, dinner's going to be ready, or some neighbor yelled for me.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, people remember staying out till the streetlights came on. And believe it or not, back then, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, aughts, the crime rate was higher than it is today. We're back to the crime rate of what it was in 1963, which was really safe, unless you were the president. And it was when gas was 29 cents a gallon. We're back to the crime rate from before color television.
That's amazing.
I know. And yet, we have heard stories, often because I brought them to public attention, of parents being arrested for letting their kids walk home from the park. The Métis family in Maryland, very famous for letting their kids aged 10 and 6 walk home from the park. They were arrested once. They were arrested a second time, investigated, I should say, and eventually found not guilty. But what an ordeal for the parents. And as I've written on my website, which is Let Grow, but also on Reason.com, where I'm a contributor, there was another story of a mom. She stayed with her dying aunt late into the night and therefore came home at around 5 in the morning one weeknight. And she overslept when her kid was supposed to go to school. And so he got himself up and he got his breakfast and he got his backpack and he missed the bus. Okay,
right,
so he missed the bus. So what does he do? He doesn't wake her up. He shows a little gumption and he starts walking to school. This is in Connecticut. And he's about a mile there. It's a 2-mile walk. And somebody sees him outside and it's so unusual to see a child walking without like a security detail or being back of the SUV that they call the police. And the police race over because that's how little crime there is. They can race over to just a kid walking to school who's fine. And they pick him up. What happened? Oh, my mom overslept. Oh, okay, well, let us drive you to school, which I thought was almost nice. But then they turn right around. They knock
on
the lady's door. They said, well, you know, hi, I'm Maria Hasengal. Yes. Where's your son? She's like, I don't know. I'm waking up. And they said, well, he says that you overslept. And she said, oh, I guess I did. And then she said that the cop said to her, you're despicable. And they put her in handcuffs and they threw her in the cop car and they took her down to the precinct. And if you go online, you can see her mugshot, you know, straight on and in profile.
That's despicable.
That is despicable. And they charged her with, I can't remember if it was the danger to a minor or negligence or something. And that was 2 years ago. And it took 2 years of fighting and having to do everything that the authorities said, you know, the parenting classes. They ended up having to move because they couldn't afford the lawyer and the house they were living in. And the idea that they're doing this for the safety of the child when they're disrupting the entire family, undermining the parents, and acting as if it's World War III out there in the safest times ever to be a kid in America, it's all a lie.
That's right. And I want to talk about resilience, but of course I have to share with you, as everyone probably has who talks to you, I probably should be one of those people that they handcuff and take away.
Okay.
You know, as you said, what did you do when you were young? You went out, right?
Right.
And my last of my four, when she was eight, needed to start walking home from school for a variety of personal reasons I won't go into. And we were only maybe not even a mile from the school.
Mm-hmm.
And she would begin to walk home from school. It was a small community, Catholic school. And the number of parents, not as extreme as what you're describing yet, and probably today it would be, but the number of parents would say, oh, I saw Mary Monica walking home by herself, so I picked her up.
Yeah.
And how they had mercy on me because what made her walk home was now suddenly being in a one-parent family. And instead, and she was excited to walk home.
I know.
To this day, she's a 23-year-old, young, independent, very fearless person.
Hooray.
With a great reason, because she had the ability to do things that other people thought, oh, you poor thing, because people throw their kids in the back of a car to go two blocks. And I am just so saddened, Lenore, that I come home from my job or when I'm working at home and I look around the same neighborhood and there's no kids out.
There's no kids out. It's like they've been like sucked up by some giant vacuum.
That's exactly right. Like aliens took them, because
God forbid
they be outside alone and not playing. How do we overcome this? Is it about the law, or have we lost our parenting chip?
It's not the parenting chip. I mean, people always say, you're anti-helicopter parents, aren't you? I'm like, I am not against any parent who is trying to navigate this crazy society we have, where we're told that everything our children do, see, eat, read, lick, hear, wander towards, wander away from, it's all so dangerous. And then to the point where that hysteria seeps into law and you're trying to stay one step ahead of the headlines by not letting your kid walk home from school. That's not because you're a helicopter parent. That's because you are living in a society that has decided to give in to hysteria. If you watch The Talk this week, and then I'll get back into it.
Please.
The Talk was so insane. It's a TV show. It's clearly the also-ran to The View.
Mm-hmm.
And Julie Chen is the moderator. And she said, today we're going to talk about a law, and she's like practically gagging, that allows children who are mature and have good judgment to walk home from school and play outside on their own. And the audience is clearly, there must be some giant sign that says boo, because they're all going, boo, boo. And she said, you know, some people think this law is good because it will give self-reliance and resilience to children. But critics say, and they make these critics up, critics say it could put our children in harm's way. And everyone goes, ooh. And then on come the ladies, the harpies, who start saying, what? This law is I got to do my Sharon Osbourne impersonation.
Yes, please.
This law is ridiculous. Send our children to the park? Let our children play in the park? That's where the perverts are. And I'm like thinking, yeah, like, maybe your husband.
Yeah.
Whatever. The point is that, that's why communities put parks there. They're like, well, where can we got to have a pervert preserve. Let's build a park. I mean, that's actually
not why parks exist.
And
by the way, we have law enforcement not to tell us what to do, but to protect us, to make sure that people don't put our kids in harm's way.
Correct.
And frankly, we've removed, it sounds to me a little bit like as well, the responsibility of people to be that good neighbor, right?
Well, the thing is that people think that being a good neighbor is being the KGB. Now, I mean, so many times, I'm trying to think, did I get one this week? Last week. Anyways, people call me or write to me generally at 3 in the morning, and they say my fingers are shaking as I type this, which you have to say because you actually can't tell from type. But I was dropping off my younger son at daycare today, so I let my 5-year-old wait in the car for a few minutes, and then somebody, you know, filmed me or called the police or screamed at me, and now I took a picture of my license, and now I worry that I am going to be investigated, and what can I do? And, you know, generally I say, get a lawyer. But if the person really cared about the safety of the child in the car, why don't they wait there for 3 minutes, you know,
if rather they thought than that was a concern, because we also have lost the ability to judge the difference between a child left, a baby left,
yes,
a someone neglected,
right,
and the fact that your mom ran into the pharmacy, or in my case, the four kids are in front of Starbucks because,
yes,
I have to have a coffee before we go on the 3-hour track, and you come out and they're screaming and they're yelling and the pens are flying and everything else, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed. The reality is they actually stay alive that way because they learn to cope with anything that,
right,
comes their way.
And you know what? It's not hard to cope with a 4-minute wait in a car. I always say if people died in 4-minute waits in cars, then everyone would be dead the first time a freight train. You know, they're stuck behind the little thing that comes down and says you can't go until the freight train goes by. Those take four
That's
minutes,
right,
you know, and somehow we survive. So really what's happening, Jeannie, is what we're doing is we're criminalizing common sense and rationality. And we are elevating hysteria to not only the common good, but to what you must be to be an okay parent. And woman to woman, I was just having this talk with my friend over the weekend. How come we say it's okay to drive your kids someplace? You know, you can drive them to school. That's, even though the number one way kids die is as passengers in cars. But you can't let them walk to school. And it seems like if you are proving that you are a good mom by inconveniencing yourself or by being physically present so that you can prove that you are devoting yourself to watching out for predators and taking care of your kid, then you're good. But if you trust your child, you teach them how to cross the street,
right,
safely. You teach them don't get into a car with anyone. You teach them don't go off with strangers. Somehow that's being bad. Somehow absenting yourself from your child's life is seen as dangerous and therefore you are a bad parent, because they can't tell you don't be a working mom. They can't tell you go back, you know, and spend all your time with the kids and the kitchen and the cookies, but they can say your child is in danger.
Right.
Don't you care? And if you don't care, we're going to arrest you.
Well, you know, there's a whole nother layer to this that's probably a whole nother show. And if anybody out there has ideas about wanting to talk about it or has suggestions, let me know at Jeannie Allen on Twitter. But the whole issue of our children's mental health and, frankly, ADD.
Yes.
Right? I mean, we know that these things are real. Right. But we also know that our kids' brains and the way they function have changed dramatically over the years that we have restricted them, whether it's the inadequate, which we talk a lot about on Reality Check, Lenore, the reality of closed classrooms where students and kids now that grew up completely different ways are suddenly confined in chairs and rows and have to listen to people when they really do want to be active and have that kind of agency.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I think a lot of my progressive friends and education innovators would absolutely love you, because the big, you know, the big thing now, the big craze is agency, that we have to have schools where students help pursue their own independent thoughts and ideas and learning. And so if you take away the ability for them to be more free,
mm-hmm,
to build judgment,
mm-hmm,
and to be exposed to the outdoors at the same time,
aren't you just piling on with these
physiological issues that do, in fact, grow over time?
So short answer, yes. Longer answer, yes! Yes! You are totally right, Jeannie. One of the co-founders of Let Grow is a man named Peter Gray, who I would highly recommend you interview. He wrote a book called Free to Learn. He's a professor emeritus of psychology at Boston College. And in fact, his basic psychology textbook is used, it's in the 7th edition, it's used at Harvard and everywhere else. So he's a real bright guy. And his whole issue is that when we do everything with or for our kids and we're there, you know, we're driving them to the school and then they go into school and then they sit in the rows. And then my kids' school, they went public school here in New York City, 20 minutes of recess if they're lucky. That includes the time to line up to go outside and the time to line up to come inside. And by the way, no running across the playground, only on the perimeter of the playground. And then you said, and if they're bad, they don't get any recess, right? Which, believe me, we've dealt with that too. And then they go back inside and then they get picked up and they're driven to, you know, Kumon or soccer or chess or some after-school program. Once again, again, it's like school, except it's for baseball. It's called Little League. And somebody tells you, you know, when your turn is and what position you're playing and whose team you're on and who's bringing the snacks. And then you're put back in the car and then you're taken home. And then there's the 2 hours of homework. And then your parent has to sign that you definitely read for 20 minutes. And boy, did you like it, because you were putting post-it notes on every page, because that's really how you get to love reading. And we wonder why kids are depressed. It's like, it's called the internal locus of control. When you have some control over your life, you feel better. When you have a horrible micromanaging boss, you feel awful. Well, that's how kids are feeling. And we wonder why there's this skyrocketing of anxiety and depression among young kids. I mean, there might be a plethora of reasons, and maybe social media, et cetera. But certainly, if I had to spend every minute of my day with somebody else telling me what I was doing, I wouldn't care if they high-fived me at the end. I wouldn't care about a sticker or a trophy. I would want some free time.
That's right. And that's so interesting you say that, because I know that people out there probably feel the same way I do and have heard this. I have so many friends of mine who say, why anxiety now? We grew up with many of the same challenges, some of us many more. And we've
different
made life easier for us. So yes, it's a different generation. Yes,
well,
kids have changed.
Easier is an interesting word, because what I'm talking about these days is I'm starting to call it, instead of helicopter parenting, it's sort of concierge parenting. It's like, let me handle that for you. Oh, you can't do that. Oh, very well, madame. Oh, I'll get those tickets for you. Oh, I'll find you a wonderful restaurant. It's like, it's easier, but it's like yogurt. It's so bland. Somebody else is doing all the adventuring and exploring and figuring things out and papering things over. And so there was this example. So I don't know if you saw the Reason piece. Jonathan Haidt and I wrote this piece called The Fragile Generation. And one of the examples we give at the beginning that I love so much is Parents Magazine was asked, like their advice columnist, if your kid is old enough to stay home alone for a little while you run to the dry cleaner or whatever, but now she has a play date over, can you leave both of them at home alone? And can you guess what Parents Magazine said?
No.
They said, yeah. I mean, I don't know if you're saying no to, they said no, or you're guessing, no, you can't guess. But either way, the point is they said, absolutely not.
Yeah.
You want to be there. What if there's a spat?
Right.
And that to me is if you saw me, I know it's a podcast, but you see my
yes,
shoulders
cringing,
are up
cringing
at my ears, because what they're right. suggesting is that two children who are already friends can't handle a spat, and that the parent should be hovering so close by that they hear the beginnings of a, you know, that's my Barbie, and they jump right
in.
So nobody gets hurt.
That's right. And those kids that do that have a harder time with conflict.
I think
so. So I know we only have a few minutes, but let me just ask you a couple of quick things. First, a lot of people out there probably listening, and maybe you agree and maybe you don't, but the reality is we're just two women chatting, albeit incredibly brilliant women. But there's some science behind this, right? You talk about how it does affect their schoolwork, and we're just alluding to how it does affect their ability to be problem solvers. So there's got to be a correlation. We just had the nation's report card 2017 results released during the time period the show is taking place. Our stats are down again. We're stagnant. We are not showing the resilience and the grit, which is also a big topic these days.
To me, it's all one big wad of self-reliance,
right,
and doing some things on your own.
What do we do about it?
Yeah, here's our plan. So
I've got all day for you, but I know we're on a tight time frame with you.
I got to talk to China. They're going to get ahead. They're going to talk to me for longer. So LetGrow has two initiatives that we're trying to get started in the schools. And if you're a parent or a principal or anything in between, consider doing these. They're easy. One is the LetGrow Project, where the teachers tell the kids, go home and ask your parents if you can do one thing on your own that you haven't done yet, like walk the dog, make dinner, like your kid, walk home from school. And because those milestones have been buried under all the fear, parents don't know when they can do this, and they just don't. They, I'll just keep driving. Oh, I'll just keep making it all for them. But if all the kids are doing something on their own, and it's endorsed by the school, then you feel like, okay, well, what do you want to do? I want to ride my bike to the library. That's too far. All right, how about I ride my bike to, you know, get a Slurpee? Okay. So you and your kid decide what that thing is, but all the kids are doing things. You can have a couple kids doing things together, your kid and his friend. And so once you do that, which seems like the simplest thing in the world, but you need a push, then when the kid comes home and they've got their own Slurpee, You're ecstatic. I mean, it's like remembering your 8.5-year-old walking home from school. It's like, look at what my kid can do. This is my kid. Hey, everybody, look at Cindy Lou. And
it's fantastic.
It is so fantastic, and it's so simple, and it breaks the ice as easily and as normally as when you see your kid take those first steps, and you're so proud, and you don't say, that was great, but now it's time to crawl again.
Yeah,
you just don't go backwards, because you're hardwired to love seeing your child growing up and blossoming, but you've denied it to yourself because everybody said it's too dangerous.
And this empowers the student, and it empowers the family to be able to say, okay, what's a Let Grow project this week, honey?
Right.
Okay, what's the second way people can actually change this craziness?
Well, the other thing we were talking about before is this locus of control and kids don't get to play. And so the idea is open the schools, keep the schools open for after school free play. And by free play, I mean the kids are running around either the playground or the gym, and somewhere in the nurse's office is some lady on her phone with an EpiPen, you know, in case there's a disaster. But she is not organizing the game. She's not telling you what to play. She's not telling you how to play it. So you have to figure out, what are we going to do? How are we going to make the teams? It's mixed ages together, which you never see anymore. And so the 12-year-old decides, I'm going to throw it a little easier to the 7-year-old. And that's the beginning of empathy.
Mm-hmm.
And the 7-year-old who keeps missing, instead of going, ah, this game sucks, and, you know, throwing down the bat and being a baby, doesn't want to look like a baby in front of the 12-year-olds. So he holds it together, and everybody is learning how to get along, as opposed to waiting for the mother in the Parents Magazine article to come in at the beginning of a spat and say, no, no, don't figure it out yourself.
Right.
You couldn't possibly. Too many feelings get hurt. So after school free play, we call it the Let Grow Play Club. And the Let Grow Project, and if you go to letgrow.org, there they are. And if you do them, just let me know, because we're trying to get some surveys out.
Great idea. So people should let you know how they're succeeding, what the response is. How did you come up with Free Range Kids? It's really brilliant.
Oh, thank you. So after I let my 9-year-old ride the subway alone, and I'm a newspaper—
Which is 10 years.
It's right? Literally 10 years. April 1st, it was 10 years.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So I wrote the column about it, and 2 days later, I was on the Today Show, MSNBC, Fox News, and NPR, just showing you that it is not a partisan issue.
It
I mean,
is not.
Really, I'm not even sure of the politics of 538, but I was talking to them this morning. I'm talking to you now, and next comes China. So it really does seem pretty broad-based. Anyways, so that weekend, I wanted to start a blog to explain that I love safety, and I, you know, would love my children to outlive me. I'm not a crazy mom. I believe in helmets and car seats and mouth guards, you name it. So my husband came up with the name Cage-Free Kids, and I was like, yes! And actually, if you look at my sign in, it says Cage-Free Kids, but then I thought, that's a little creepy.
Huh. Cage-free.
Yeah. So I said, how about Free Range Kids? And nobody had it, and I had a friend who's a trademark lawyer, and she trademarked it for me, and so that's it.
I think that's fantastic. So one other question. So this is the 10-year milestone. You've, mm-hmm. a book, you've started a movement, you've passed a few new laws, now a nonprofit. What's next? More of the same? Make sure that every state in the country gets this? Make sure every school hears about it, right? It's a social movement, don't you think, Lenore?
I think you just nailed it all. Yeah, I mean, we want to be in the schools. I thought, like, sometimes when I get a little grandiose, I think, okay, 10 years, almost to the day, we get the Free Range Kids law passed. I would like 10 years from now for it to be extraordinarily common for kids to go to school, and every year they do a Let Grow project. And it's like, oh, what are you doing for yours this year? Or what do you do it twice a year? Or maybe you do it every week. But I just want it to be part of everyday life, because it is so hard for parents to go it alone and say, I'm going to let my kid, like when you did.
Right.
You let your kid walk to school, and everybody keeps picking her up saying, oh, that poor
kid.
Oh, my God, all the predators, all the everything.
She was in great shape. She was happy.
Yeah.
She would tell me, oh, Mom, I cleaned the kitchen. Things worked. I mean, this is what happens. I made some of my boys do it, too. You know, one other idea in your arsenal that I'll throw out there, too.
Yeah.
When you have a baby, mm-hmm. most of us in a hospital, and we get that little bag that's full of, you know, breastfeeding advice and health stuff,
mm-hmm.
and who knows what's in there now, probably stuff about sustainability and recycling. How about, hey, don't forget to let your kids grow, and like a little picture of kids walking home from school, and they'll be old enough soon, and it's okay to let them out in the backyard, right?
That is a great idea. I mean, one of the things that I've been meaning to do that I haven't gotten around to is a what age can my kid list. And it would be based on child development as opposed to social norms. Because like at 4, they're old enough not to run into the street. They can play in the front lawn. Nobody does. But I would just tell people, like, at that point, they're old enough to do it. Whether you choose to or not doesn't matter to me. But you should know that it's not a crazy thing, and that other cultures have their kids walking. I walked to school at 5, didn't you?
Yep. That's a great idea.
Yeah. So how do you get that into the hospital goodie bag?
Yeah, I think you got to get one of the sponsors. You have to get someone who has a company, Kimberly Clark, or someone who wants to be selling a product that's sponsoring it is probably the best way to do it. And I think that, you know, to the extent that makes sense to people early on, then they when they get to school and there are other parents and family members who are coddling their kids, they're much more likely to say, no, I've been doing this for a while.
Right. Or didn't you really read that thing from the hospital?
Yeah. And when people start complimenting their kids for being so independent and articulate, and they go, what do you do? Well, nothing, really. I just raised them and let them grow.
Right. Well, the thing is, nothing is not nothing. I mean, that's the other thing. People think like free range or let grow means feral. And what it really means is being old-fashioned. Like my mom, you know, yes, she sent me to walk to school at age 5, but she was a stay-at-home mom. She taught me how to cross the street, you know, look both ways, look left, look right, look left again. Why do we always have to do left, right, left?
Right. Oh, yes.
I don't know why.
Love that. Oh, yes, me too.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So that got into like the ecosystem.
Yeah, it is.
These things do, they catch.
Yeah. So our job as parents has always been to train our kids, but you train them for independence. And actually, if you're there with them all the time doing everything for them, you're not training them. You're concierging again. A concierge person doesn't figure out how to get the cheap Vietnamese food in town. They go where the concierge sends them. They're a sap.
So, that's right.
So raise your kids to be a little more independent. And if we think that the future is robots, you know, doing everything, well, then those kids sitting there in the class memorizing, that's sort of wasted time. Whereas the kids outside playing, figuring out, how do I make something happen? How do I get things to go my way? How do I keep people happy enough that we're all playing and this game doesn't end? Those are skills that a robot can't have, and that if you want to rule the world, I suggest you get them.
And that's a great note to stop on. I bet you if we interviewed all the entrepreneurs out there, they'd tell us that they had a pretty free-range childhood. My amazing, terrific guest has been Lenore Scanese. So much fun.
Thanks.
You can follow Lenore on Twitter at FreeRangeKids and find out more about LetGrow at letgrow.org. Don't forget to subscribe and sign up for Reality Check. Thanks so much, Lenore. This is Reality Check. I'm Jeannie Allen. Thanks for listening. Reality Check is a podcast produced by National Review and posted at nationalreview.com. If you like what you heard in this podcast, and I hope you did, you might want to subscribe for free and make sure you don't miss any future programs. You can subscribe at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn. And you can also find much more about education reform, opportunity, and innovation at the Center for Education Reform's website, edreform.com.